Are you enjoying the lights? They look nice from there, don't they? Caitlin has lots of these in her bedroom. And she'll go to sleep and leave them on. And then you're scrambling around trying to find where to turn them off from. And there's about 18 different strings of these things, with controllers hanging everywhere. So I don't know why I'm telling you this. I guess light can sometimes be inconvenient. We think about light and darkness a lot, don't we? It's a very strong biblical image. Jesus, of course, the supreme light of the world, who comes to shine light into the darkness of our human experience. And we instinctively understand something about light and dark, good and evil. Even in some of those old cowboy films, the good guys wear white hats and the bad guys wear black hats. I'm sure good guys can also wear black hats if they choose. God looks at the heart, not at the hat. Light. One of the things that I miss about England, you wouldn't expect me to say that I missed anything about England, would you? Because it's like heaven here. And what could you possibly miss? One of the things I miss is an evening, a twilight. It still takes me by surprise that you're out and about, it's a nice afternoon, a late afternoon, the sun is shining, it's light, it's bright. You go into a shop or whatever you have to do, you come out, it's pitch black. And not just that, you've got the whole crazy bird thing going on. That doesn't happen in England. It gets gently dark, the birds do their thing calmly, and then we move into night time. Not here, no, the lights go out, the birds go bonkers for about half an hour, and it's instantly dark. Except, of course, it isn't, is it? When you get out of the city, and one of the... We talked a bit about our recent trips to Central Australia. And one of the things that you really get once you get out of cities is amazing night skies. And I won't ever forget being out in the middle of the of Central Australia. We were very fortunate to be able to have a dinner under the stars. And halfway through that meal, they come along and they turn all the lights out. And you're sat there. And you are looking up because your chair's on sand and it sinks. So you've got no choice but to look up. And the stars just everywhere. Amazing. Actually, it's very hard to really experience darkness. Except we look at our world, and we look at what's happened this week in our world, and we look at what happens every week in our world, and we realize that darkness of the evil, the darkness of that which would just bring death to the human experience, is still very much all around us. So the challenge for us to be children of light is a challenge that Paul brings us to as we close this letter, this first letter to the Church of Thessalonica. And if you've been journeying with us through this, we come to the fifth and final part of that series today. And it fits well, I think, into the dedication promises that Stuart and Natalie have made on behalf of Alexis today, because what loving parent doesn't desire that their child know a life that is about light, bringing light to others, walking in light, being good and kind and experiencing all those things? This chapter picks up where Paul was talking to the church about Christ's promised return. And so we're challenged to live in the light of Jesus, his coming, and his coming again. So let's turn to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll just start with the first 11 verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's a very thin book towards the back of the Bible. Yes, it's almost at the very back if you're looking in one of the church Bibles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, concerning how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. And when people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin, and there will be no escape. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief, for you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. Stuart and Natalie's promises are that Alexis would grow up to know something of the light of God. The promises of dedication include promises to keep from her anything that would be harmful to her in body, mind, or spirit. The natural desire of parents to protect their children. To protect their children in every way, physically and spiritually. A stated desire that Alexis grow to understand that she is a child of the light, being taught the things of God from childhood and being encouraged to seek Christ as Saviour in due course. Faith and love are the qualities of children of light in this fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Faith and love as protection, as armour. That's in verse 8. Protected by faith and love. For if we grow to have faith, then we will always have confidence in God, no matter what happens to us. And if we are people of love, that's because we've experienced God's love and we're able to reflect that back to others. And there is very little that can't be put right with love in our world. We see some of the things that are happening around. Division that doesn't, maybe has always been there, but somehow, to look at some of what's happened in America in recent days. But there's very little there that can't be put right by love and understanding, and that sounds trite in some level. You'd expect me to sing "What the World Needs Now Is Love." I'm not going to sing that. But there's truth in it. I saw a news picture this morning, an African-American gentleman befriending Ku Klux Klan members. That's almost unthinkable. But rather than take them on at their own game, he's taken them on with love. And he's made friends with these people, and some of these people have given up being part of that movement. Because they've got a new understanding. Love has made that difference. And love is the nature of God. And love is what God brings to us. And all human love, all family love, is a reflection of who God is for us. For he is the source of all that is good, whether we acknowledge him or whether we don't. It's his light that we're called to bring to the world. And so we are asked and we're warned and we're challenged to protect ourselves with faith and love. And it says in the rest of verse 8, wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. Other translations would say hope, the hope of salvation. Now there's another chapter in the Bible where Paul expands on all this stuff about protecting ourselves spiritually in Ephesians. But here is just a couple of things tucked away in 1 Thessalonians 5. Faith, love, and hope. And those three things will carry you a long way. It's no accident that he talks about the helmet of salvation. Because we need to guard our thought life. If we're going to focus on the one who calls us to be light bringers in the world, then we need to feed ourselves spiritually and intellectually with things that are good for us. And when Stuart and Natalie make a promise for their child that they will keep from her that which will harm her in body, mind or spirit, that's the promise they're making, that the influences that she would take on in her life would be things that bring wholeness and fullness. And some of those influences are us. For you are children of the light. The people of God in Newcastle, you are the children of the light. Present tense and future promise. You are the children of the light. I am a child of the light. Our challenge is to be that good example, to not ever be that stumbling block in Alexis's life or any other young person's life, or any older person's life for that matter, living as children of the light, living as people who, regardless of circumstance, regardless of what's going on, can still say that our faith is in Christ. Our love for others is inspired by his love for us. And that we will retain the confidence of our salvation, whatever happens to us. Because that's what children of light do. Let's go on as we address the chapter from verse 12. These are the qualities of the children of light. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Well, that could be, yeah. We could say a lot about those three words, couldn't we? There's no optionality in here. Always be joyful. Command, not suggestion. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. They're all pretty good qualities that we would desire in our own children and in each other, aren't they? These are fruits of the Spirit, really. They're qualities that grow over time through a lifestyle that's dependent upon God, for a lifestyle that cultivates the things of God through relationship with Him, to be respectful of leaders, to be hardworking, to be encouraging, to be compassionate, patient, concerned for justice, joyful, prayerful, thankful, tuned in spiritually. It's a pretty great list. And for some of us, that's a lifetime's journey, exploring and deepening in those things. And if you think that you've got nothing to do in the spiritual life, in your Christian walk, if you think there's nothing left for you to do, then I encourage you to go back to this list and work through it and pray through it. Because if we all do that together, then we collectively will be hardworking, encouraging, compassionate, patient, concerned for justice, joyful. Yet still there, prayerful, thankful, and tuned in spiritually. When Stuart and Natalie bring Alexis to make their dedication promises, that's kind of the full unpacking of what that is about. To keep from her that which will harm her in body, mind, and spirit. It's to desire for her those qualities. None of us want to bring up our children to be lazy, rude, discouraging, uncaring of others, do we? No one seeks that. No one desires that for their child. I think she's probably quite patient, isn't she? She's always been very chilled out whenever I see her. You probably don't know whether she's that bothered about justice yet, but who knows? Joyful, I think she might be. Prayerful, thankful, tuned in spiritually. So what we desire for our children. Well, if we desire that in others, we need to desire it in ourselves. And what happens sometimes as we grow older is we get a little bit cynical. We think we know everything. There's nothing much that we can learn from anybody, really. And even familiar scriptures to us sometimes can fail to move us. But go through that list again. These are the qualities of the children of light. And that's you. And that's me. And that's who we are called to be. The people who are respectful, hardworking, encouraging, compassionate, patient, concerned for justice, joyful. Yay. You'll get there eventually. Prayerful, thankful, and tuned in spiritually. It's a great list. It's a list of qualities we should want for ourselves. And if we do, God helps us to keep those promises. God honors that kind of desire. Because, as we close this letter, may the God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. For God will make this happen. For he who calls you is faithful. Paul closes. Dear brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all the brothers and sisters with Christian love. I command you in the name of the Lord to read this letter to all the brothers and sisters. We've done that now. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.